on Facebook. Tell all your friends. Tweet it. Whatever. Instagram it. Breakfast. Lottie Moon breakfast next Sunday morning. So, listen, I want us to think about this new year. And the title of our message today is A New Year's Resolution. Now, I want to ask you, have you ever made a New Year's resolution? If you had, just raise your hand. Ever made a New Year's resolution? Some of you might have made one this morning or last night. If you think about, I don't know about you, but the time between after Christmas, okay? We come after Christmas. Last Sunday was Christmas Sunday. We had a great time of worship, had a baptism. What a great Sunday. But then that week after, it's kind of like a Debbie Downer. You know what I'm saying? You come off of that. You've built up since Thanksgiving. You're ready for Christmas. We're celebrating the birth of Christ. And then it's like you're looking around at your house that you've decorated for, what, a month, and you're thinking, I got to take all this stuff down. I mean, you know, if we're not careful, we forget the focus of why we were worshiping, what it was all about, Christmas, and we get in this kind of, that's when the bah humbug comes out, right? It's like, man, Christmas is over, and hey, but we got New Year's. New Year's is coming up next. And if we're not careful, we live like that and we'll carry it over into our spiritual life. It's what's more dangerous. And so as I was thinking about it, as we get up into carrying that attitude, we don't need to carry, we need to face a new year with excitement, with anticipation. What does 2017 hold for you, for South Fork Baptist Church, for the Todd community, for America? We don't know, as Donnie was saying today. We don't know what 2017 holds. This could be the last year for some of us to live. There's no guarantees. But there's one thing that is a guarantee. What's that? God's in control. And He doesn't change, and He's in control of all things. And so as we get into the new years, if you're thinking about these resolutions that we make, what are they? Most of the time it's what? To lose weight. I don't know about you, but I said my six-pack abs are now in the cooler. I've got to do something, all right? I've gained 20 pounds over this winter. I apologize. That's not a good thing for a pastor. Shouldn't have a fat pastor. He ought to be in shape. But y'all cook so good, and you give me cookies and all these things. Look, cake, it's their fault, ain't it? No. Sandy cooks. I mean, Sandy's a good cook. I can't help it. Yeah, I can't help it, can I? But our New Year's resolution usually deals with losing weight. Think about it. Getting in shape, maybe stop smoking if you're a smoker. We'll purpose to have a better attitude, to do better, to look better. Yada, yada, yada. Will we not? And here's the truth of the matter. Most of us will break that resolution before the end of this month. And so I want us to think, the fact that many of them are broken is we need to think about a new way, a new resolution, a New Year's resolution, one that we can hold on to and one that we can keep. And so I want us to think about as we go to Philippians, turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. We'll just be looking at one verse today as we're doing that challenge, that New Year's challenge, just the thought about a New Year's resolution. And Paul in Philippians, he's been speaking if you remember, last Sunday morning was out of Philippians 2, and I kind of stuck here for our New Year challenge. And we'll be back in Romans next Sunday if the Lord wills. And so think about Paul is in a prison. It's not, all right, it's not American prisons, okay? American prisons are like a retirement home, okay? You're just behind bars. And yet, Paul's in a prison, Roman prison. It's dark, dirty, nasty, food that you would never eat. And so he's writing, it's one of his prison epistles, Philippians is. And so he's writing from this situation. Never forget that. The inspiration of the Holy Spirit has inspired him there in that prison. And so he's writing this letter, and he's looking back over, and he's challenging this great church at Philippi, which were unified in love. And he's telling them, hey, you know what? We need to keep on purposing to have this unity, to have this love, to have this togetherness. And so he's challenging them out, and he's saying, hey, he's really, if you would look at this, it would be almost like he's telling them to have a resolution to know Christ more. What a great New Year's resolution, to know Christ more. And I want us to think about that. We can all resolve, if the truth be known, all of us can grow in our spiritual walk. You're talking your pastor's not excluded from this. I desperately need to grow in Christ. I really, to be honest with you, I've been looking back over to 2016 and asking myself, have I grown in my walk with Christ? Have I become more Christ-like in areas of my life? And is there some areas of disappointment? And there's areas that I can say, yeah, you know, that I see improvement. But the truth be known, I can improve in 2017 in that allowing Christ to walk, to know Him more. And so I want us to keep that idea as we get to a New Year's resolution, knowing Him more. And I want us to look at three areas this morning in that one verse in Philippians chapter 10. And I want us to think about, let's stand on our feet as we reverence God's Word, and we'll read this verse. Philippians 3, verse 10. The Word of God says this, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. Let's pray. Father, I pray for just a few moments. You'll take this Word, not the words of a man, but the words of God, and You'll penetrate our heart. Hide me behind the cross. May Your Word go forth for Your glory. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Knowing Him more, knowing Christ more. And what are some areas? Three I want us to think about. First is His person. Look at verses 10a where it says that Paul says that I may know Him. That I may know Him. And so Paul's already made this great statement up in verse 8. And he says, yeah, and he's looking back over his life, Paul is. And he's looking at his credentials, where he's came from as a Jew, as a Hebrew, as a Pharisee. And he says, yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish that I might gain Christ. He looked back over his life, his credentials, his background, all these things, even the things he had done for Christ, even those things in ministry. You know what he said? He said, I count them rubbish. Really dung if you study that word out. He said there's nothing as excellency of the knowledge of knowing Christ that he might gain it. And he's come to the place where everything else in his life is just rubbish in comparison to his relationship to Christ. Is that your life? Is everything else in comparison of our life is so caught up, it's complex, really, if we break it down, of the things that drive us and make us want to be these things that we earnestly desire out of our life. There's nothing wrong with setting goals to reach and all these things, but if Christ is not the center of them, what use are they? Let me ask you that this morning. If these goals that we are attaining, if you're that driven person, that you're driven to reach, what good are those goals if Christ is not the center of it? Paul said, hey, it's rubbish in comparison to knowing Him and to knowing Him more. And so how does he want to know Him? And actually that word know there is a word used. It's not to intellectually have a knowledge, but it's gnosko. It's this intimate knowledge. He says, I want to know Him intimately. I want to know Christ more. I'm going to take his jacket off. I might throw it. Better. That's better. Look. I want to know Him intimately. Is that your wish? Is that your wish for 2017 to know Christ more intimately? And so that area, he wants to know Him. And I thought one of the first ways of knowing Him more intimately is personally. Personally. Our salvation is personal. Do you understand that? Nobody here came under the umbrella that the whole group just got saved. And we got saved too. But it's in a personal decision of coming and understanding of our sin, of our need for a Savior. And so it's personal. And that initial saving knowledge came on the basis, listen, Paul understood what it was to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. You remember the road to Damascus? He's going to persecute the church. And what happens? The light of the Shekinah glory strikes him down. And he said, hey! Paul, who are you persecuting? And Paul said, hey, who is this? It's Jesus Christ, he said, whom you've been persecuting. He'd been persecuting his children, so he'd been persecuting his Lord. And hey, you know what happens from that encounter on? What happened to Paul? Well, his name was Saul. His own name changed, didn't it? There's something changes when we have an encounter with Christ. It's a personal thing. And so when we come in contact with the risen Lord, your life's going to change. It cannot stay the same Why? Because He's our Savior. He's the Creator and Sustainer. When we understand our sin and His goodness, things change. Paul, he says he wants to know who Christ is, what He's done, what He's doing, what He's going to do. That became Paul's life. He's in a prison because, and he's wearing chains because of him carrying the gospel for the very one that he was going out and persecuting the people that were living in his name. Now he wore the chains and bore in his body the scars of serving this Christ. That's a change, ain't it? He had a personal encounter with Him. I'm going to ask you this morning, have you had that personal encounter with Christ? Not the intellectual knowledge of knowing, understanding. Some of you might have grew up in church. You might have went to church all your life here, and you've heard it. You know the language. You know how it looks. But you know you have this intellectual knowledge, but when it comes to this personal, intimate knowledge of Christ, it's kind of like, well, I don't get that. I don't understand. You say, well, what does that look like? It will become with a change in your life. Your walk will live out what your mouth is professing. Does that mean that we'll be perfect Christians? Oh, I wish. But we have a desire to please our Lord. We have a desire to please that Lord, and not only personally, but progressively. Now, this is where you've heard me hammer. I've hammered on this in 2016. I'm going to hammer on it in 2017. Why? It is not preached much anymore, is it, Lee? Personal sanctification, something that under growing in Christ. How many times have you heard me say that? It's like, dear Lord, I'm going to keep saying it until we get it, till I get it. I need to hear it. Personal, this progressiveness. This intimate relationship that leans towards a longing to be have more intimacy with Christ, a personal sanctification. It's growing in the things of the Lord. How did you grow in 2016 in the things of the Lord? You say, well, I grew in my waist, but I don't know about growing in my walk. Listen, how have you grown in Christ in 2016? A progression in growing in Him, walking in Him. We just celebrated Christmas, did we not? Had a great time. We still have decorations up. We just celebrate the babe that's in the manger. He's really not that confrontational, is he? In fact, we'll get all sentimental and we'll cry. Man, we had a great Christmas Eve service. We surrounded the room and had the lit candles and we sang A Silent Night. Man, those moments that just are so gripping in your heart and sentimental. And the babe is not confrontational. But listen, the babe grew into a man, the God-man, and gave his life on a cross. And the cross is not, it's confrontational. You have to either reject it or receive it. The babe becomes a man that gives his life on a cross that the world through him might be saved. That's very confrontational. You live in a world now that the cross is confrontational. You don't even see it as a jewelry much anymore. It used to be right. Everybody wore crosses. It didn't matter. But you don't even see that much anymore. Why? It's confrontational. You have to make your decision at the cross. And it's this progression. What about that man? Paul saw everything in his life as dung in comparison to his salvation. His relationship with Jesus Christ. What about you? Is there a progression in your life? Let me ask you that. Is there a progression in your life? 2016 is over. Can you look back over that year, those 12 months, and say, I've grown in the Lord in these areas? We don't even think about that. We just get saved. And we get satisfied, and we just want to sit down and just take it easy. That's the American mindset. We want to retire in the Lord. Let me just draw my pension and go out and do whatever I want to do, singing and praise the Lord. Listen, a salvation that doesn't change us daily, what kind of weak salvation is that when we're relying on it to get us in eternity in heaven with God forever and ever? That's a weak salvation. It should change us and grow us, and we should progressively be walking in the Lord. Listen, God's good to us. Look around. This is our church family. I love you guys. I'm so excited about 2017. Why? It's a new start. Paul, in these very verses right here, he said, one thing I do is forgetting those things which are behind, and I look forward. Now, Paul could look back and see where he was killing Christians, beating Christians, and being a part of that. He could also look back at all the churches that he planted, the baptisms, the people that had come to know Christ, and he could just live back there. But he said, one thing I do is forgetting those things which are behind. It's a great thing to remember those. Listen, I stood there not only at the picture of all those people that had come to know Christ and joined our church, but I also went on up a little ways to all those men that had preached. I do this periodically. And I salute them. I know that sounds crazy, but I say, hey, you've came. They came and they poured their life into you guys. They invested into your life. Men of God. And it's for a purpose, not for us just to say, wasn't it a good time? But for us to grow in that relationship with the Lord. For us to become more Christ-like. And so, he said, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward. Listen, it's great what God did in 2016, but guess what? 2017's ahead of us. And if you don't set goals, listen, if you aim for nothing, you'll hit it every time. Is that a country music song? I don't know. Be a good one. If it wasn't. Listen. If you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. But you've got to set goals. You've got a purpose in your heart. You've got to make resolutions that count. You want to improve yourself for 2017? Know Him more. Personally. But not only that. Not just to know Him in that person, but what about His power? Look at verse 10b. He says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. So, not only just knowing His person, but the power. Paul knew that there was no power in the law. We've learned that as we went through Romans. He keeps coming back to that these Jewish, these brothers and sisters in the Jewish people, he realized that they were just living the law, going through the motions, doing their thing, and he said there was no power in it. Why? The law could never save them. Do you realize? And you've heard me say this, and I'll say it again. Coming to church, coming to Sunday school, singing in the choir, tithing to the Lord every Sunday does not make you right with God. If we're not careful, our tradition of our relationship with the Lord supersedes our relationship. And Paul says, no, that's not where it's at. It's in His power. What this church needs, what America needs, is the power of God to fall upon it. We need the Holy Ghost of God to get a hold of us in 2017 and shake us really good. Paul said, man, the power of His resurrection, that's what we need. The Spirit's power is the only thing that keeps us going. It's the only thing. Can I be perfectly honest with you? I've come to realize this. See, I'm learning too. We're all learning. We're all growing together. That's the exciting part of it. We're all growing together. None of us have arrived. What I have learned is the power of this pulpit, the power of the man that stands behind this pulpit, comes through the cleanliness of his life. Cleansing. It comes through that walk with Lord and allowing the areas, God to clean out the areas in my life. Do you realize we all have those areas? And let's be honest. Oh, we might want to push them over and cover them up, but they're there. And so we have to have this cleansing. Think about the cleansing that you'll experience before you ever experience the power. You've got to be clean before the Lord. Listen to what Ephesians 5:18 says. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. That might hit somebody good since it was New Year's Eve last night. How you celebrated. Celebrate like the world. You think you got a drink? And I'm not hammering on drinking, but he's talking about do not be drunk with wine. He's talking about anything that we put in a place that controls us other than God. Our problem is we want to hold on to our wine. Let's be honest. We want to hold on to our wine. What would it look like if the Lord cleaned us up in our thought life, in our business practices, in our relationships, in the way that we did life? What would it look like if God cleaned us up, that we were willing to say, you know what? I don't want to be under the control of the things of the world. I want to be under the control of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I want to experience His power. promise you this. You're talking to a man that's been high on anything. You can't say that I haven't been high on myself. I'm not proud of that. But there's a high with serving the Lord that you don't ever have to come off of or feel guilty about. There's a high when you get out and you actually live for the Lord and you allow Him to work through you and you share the gospel and you talk to people out of the love of a heart that's been changed by the Lord. There's something that, there's a high that you come home and you feel good about yourself where you've been out there witnessing for the Lord and representing Him. There's nothing that compares to it. It comes through this cleansing, giving God. See, you were not willing to give up our wine. I'm using wine as a generalization, the thing that we think, we're pretty clean. Oh, we're all right. And what we'll do, we compare ourselves to some ruffian over here. We feel miserable even when we put Christ on that comparison. What are we willing to give up in 2017 to say, if it'll make me more like Christ? It's time for me just to let it go. There's areas in my own life, strongholds that have been there for a long time. Am I going to just take them right over into 2017, carrying that garbage over with me? There's a lot of garbage right here that we need to dump off and just say, hey, flush it, 2016. I'm going to let it go. Why? Because I know it's hampering my spiritual walk. And if we're honest before God, we can all say that. I know that this hampers me in my spiritual, my worship. I'm not able to worship. I wring my hands or whatever. We need to flush it. It's not about us, Paul said. It's about Him. It's about His power, His person, His power. Man, His resurrection, what was that? That was the greatest display of Christ's power. Rising from the dead, it reveals His absolute power over both the physical and the spiritual. His power was absolute. Paul experienced Christ's resurrection in two ways. Think about it. The power that saved him and the power that sanctified him. Paul was a work in progress just like the rest of us. He realized that his walk would never be complete until he was beheaded in that Roman prison or till the Lord came back. It's a progressiveness. Progressively growing in Christ. And Paul realized that. Most of us don't have the problem with the saving part. It's that we scratch our head when we talk about sanctification. We just kind of scratch our head because we can't wrap. Here's what we do. We become complacent. We become satisfied just to be saved. Just to be saved. That's something to praise the Lord about. But I'm going to tell you something. That salvation, that gospel, is enough to keep us and keep us in a walk, a right walk with the Lord daily, growing in Him, becoming more Christ-like. Paul said, man, that's what it's about. Every believer has Christ's resurrection power, and it's able to defeat temptation, whatever it is, that the trials that help us to lead a holy life and to boldly and fruitfully proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have that power. And Paul says, man, I want to know that resurrection power. It's the same thing that's going to get you up one of these days out of the grave yourself. The power of the resurrection. We believe that, don't we? As a people, we believe that one day we're going to resurrect. Why? Because the Scripture tells us it's that power that resurrected Jesus from the grave that will one day resurrect us. There'll be a great day one of these days when it's all over. But we're commanded until that day to be about the Father's business, to be about in 2017 representing Christ in a world that so desperately needs Christ. How exciting. That's exciting. Is anybody else excited? Say amen. Amen. There you go. When we understand His person, we experience His power. But then we'll live out His passion. Look at the last verses 10. See? And He says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and here it is, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. Was Paul asking to die by crucifixion? I don't think that's what he's saying right here at all. In fact, he says, I want to look more like Christ, whatever it might take. Are we willing to say that? Lord, what I want, I give to you. Where I want to go, what I want to do, it's all rubbish in comparison. What do I want? Hey, Lord, I'm willing to give this to you. Paul was conformed to his death at salvation, just like we all are, by the way. In fact, he says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, I now live by the faith of the Son of God, which loved me and gave himself for me. Paul realized that he had been crucified with Christ. He had died. In fact, when Garth was baptized this past Sunday, remember, that's what it represented. That he had died, he had received Christ, he died to his old self, and he's alive now to live Christ, in Christ. And Paul understood it. Listen, do we understand that we've been crucified with Christ? Paul was conformed to his death just like we all are when we receive Christ as our personal Savior. He has something more in mind, though. He has a deep partnership and a communion with Christ in his suffering. He's in that, remember, don't forget where he's at. He's in a prison. He could look, he said he bore in his body. He could look at his body and see the scars of the beatings he had took for Christ. And he realized, look, Christ, who had endured far more intense persecution and suffering than anyone else who had ever lived, and it was all undeserved for Christ. But Paul said there's an intimacy there that I realized that my suffering brought me in this fellowship with him. Now listen, we don't like suffering. Let's all just be honest. We don't like suffering. In fact, we pray to avoid suffering, but Paul realized that it was those valleys that drew him so close to God. It was that prison cell with that flickering light as the inspiration of God, and he's penning this. He realized the closeness and the intimacy that he would have never experienced any way else. In our Sunday school lesson today, we see that they're getting ready to go over, and they've conquered the promised land, and then this great challenge for Joshua comes out about not forgetting. Why is it that as long as we're in the battles, as long as we're in those battles and we're going through these things, our focus is laser sharp on God and the things of God. We just hold on to the altar sometime. But then when everything's kind of good, it's like, happy days are here again. And we're not as focused, are we? We're not as laser sharp. And Paul, he realized that in his own life, he could look back over it, and he realized it was in those valleys, in those deserts. Listen, some of you have went through some tough deserts in 2016. I know, because I've been with you through them. It's in those deserts that we're drawn to Christ and that suffering that he's talking about. And he understands that Christ's passion was that he gave his life and he suffered for who? For you. And so Paul realized that his life of suffering and giving to others was more Christ-like than anything else that he did. Our deepest moments of spiritual fellowship with the living Christ are at times of intense suffering. I don't know about you, but I don't say, Lord, let's bring the suffering on. But here's the deal. The reality of it is, if you're not in a storm right now, there's one coming. It comes. Suffering comes in life. But if we take it as Paul did and recognize it as an avenue and a catalyst on growing in Christ, look, we'll face our suffering in a much different way, won't we? And we don't just come out complaining or making us bitter, but it makes us better. It makes us more like Christ. And so he realized our suffering drives us to him. And there we find a faithful friend who feels our pain, and a sympathetic companion who understands all that we face. There we find our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There we find that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. When everybody else, Paul's there, and everybody else had deserted him, he realized that Christ was there with him. Right there, he was never alone. How many times have we felt alone in our suffering? realize that Christ is always there with us when we have that relationship with Him. We know that Christ will always be with us. We know that He was with us in 2016. And the truth, as we've already said, we don't know what 2017 holds, but we know who holds 2017. Can anybody say amen? We know who holds 2017. We don't know what the country, there's a lot of transitions that's getting ready to happen. We don't have a clue, but we know who holds it and who's in control. We know Him, and we should want to know Him more. It could be for us the greatest year we ever had spiritually if we're just resolved to give Him, give our life over, and quit being satisfied and complacent. Just give it over to Him and say, Lord, you know what? Well, I'm scared to death, Lord. If I give this over to You, You might make me do this or that. Man, if that's what's keeping you from doing it, that's sad. Here's the deal. He'll never call you to do anything that He don't empower you to do. I'm a living testimony to that. I never wanted to get up in front of people and talk. Can't talk in front of people. I'm scared to death. Here we are. I understand that. But here's the deal. I know that I rely on Him. I can't take any credit. I know He knows my heart. He knows my weaknesses. And so don't ever let, I'm scared that God might ask me to do this. If He asks you to do that, He'll empower you to do that. I promise you. Don't let that hold you back. Don't let your idiosyncrasies keep you from serving the Lord. Don't let your wants and needs and desires and your opinions keep you from serving the Lord. 2017 could be a banner year if we just say, you know what? I'm just going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, what are we going to do? We're going to serve the Lord. If we'll do that, who knows what He can do? It's the only resolution with lasting value. It's the only thing that we can resolve in our heart that really has lasting value to it. Jim Elliot, and you've heard me quote this before, he is no fool that gives up what he cannot gain or cannot gain to keep what he cannot lose. That's not a foolish man that gives up what you can never gain, keep what you cannot lose. What are you going to do in 2017? Going to keep riding the mule train? I'm all right. I don't know how many people try to teach something. Oh, I already know that. If you know it, then why ain't we living it and doing it? You know? Are we just going to keep on feeling like we've been bribed? Or are we going to say, you know what? I want to grow in the things of the Lord. I want to grow in Him. I want to know Him. I want to know His person. I want to know His power. I want to know His passion. What will the Lord do? Applications and we'll be done. Here's a good question. Now, we all ought to answer. Let's be honest before the Lord. Hey, we're just family, right? We don't have to put on, let's pull off the mask. Well, I'm just as ugly with the mask off as I am on, okay? Let's pull off the mask for just a minute. Did you grow in your relationship with Christ in 2016? Ask yourself that personally before the Lord. Don't compare yourself to your wife, whoever. Just ask yourself, did I grow in my relationship with Christ in 2016? Second, how will you grow in 2017? Aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. This is a great Sunday. First Sunday of a brand new year that you can purpose in your heart. This is what how I want to grow. How do we grow in the Lord? How is it that we grow in Him? We spend time with Him intimately in His Word, in prayer time. You say, well, I really don't have time. Try just 15 minutes, 10 minutes to begin with. You'd be surprised. I have time to watch my sorry Tar Heels lose a ball game, two of them, football and basketball. The only thing good is you Duke guys got beat too and your state did too. We don't have any teams in North Carolina. So I've got time to sit down. I watched Clemson take it to Ohio State last night. Listen, do I not have time? purpose to spend time in His Word. You say, well, I really can't understand it. Find you something that will help you understand it. No more excuses. Spend time in prayer. Smile that praying stuff. I don't, listen, it's just you and God, so you ain't going to worry. I just don't pray good. Just talk. Can you not just talk to God? You don't have to sound good. It's not. You're not trying to impress anybody, by the way. You're just talking to God. I grow in that walk. And then, Lord, help me to share Your gospel with somebody. How many people, come on, how many people did you share the gospel with in 2016? How many people did you tell about the wonderful story of Jesus Christ? Hey, you know, I'm not trying to beat you up. I'm just saying 2017, brand new year. 2017, a brand new year. What are you going to shoot for 2017? Set a goal, purpose in your heart to know Him more. And then number three, what are areas you need to give Him in this brand new year? Here we go. What did you drag in 2017 that you should have left back in 2016? Jealousy, envy, strife, gossip. There ain't no room for that in God's house. Then just think. Are we going to struggle with that? There's strongholds in your life, and you need to leave that 2016. Say, you know what, 2017, I'm going to press on for Christ. Why? I don't know about you, but I want to see men and women, boys and girls, come to know Jesus Christ, baptizing them, growing in the Lord, raising up a godly generation. Listen, this house got to be clean for that to happen. Not just the pastor, everybody sitting in the pews. You got strongholds in your life, you're holding the Holy Spirit back, and that's not a good thing to do. Trust me. He will break you. And I don't want that for anybody. I want us to come in 2017 and say, whatever, Lord. Whatever. Can you say that? Whatever. Whatever you want, Lord. I'm here. Send me. Send me. Let's stand on our feet. Linda, come and pray. Simple invitation. I don't know about you. I'm going to spend some time at the altar. If you want to join me, that's fine. If you don't, that's up to you. But I need to spend some time at the altar saying, Lord, this is 2017. I'm just going to give it to You. You know these areas of my life, so whatever. What a great way to start 2017 around the altar. Thank you, God, so much. Thank you. Somebody here that maybe made a profession of faith, received Christ, you let us know that, all right? That's very important. What a great time. Start out New Year's having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't miss that. If you're scratching your head and you're wondering, hey, I don't know if I've got Christ or not, just purpose right now to nail it down. Say, you know what? I'm receiving Christ. No longer am I going to question. I'm giving it all to Him. However the Lord's spoken to you, you allow Him to use you in 2017. I'm going to take just a few more moments as y'all pray. What a beautiful thing. surrender up. Well, thank you, Lynn. I love you guys. I surely do. We're growing together. But you know what? We keep our focus on Christ. Where can He take us? Where can He take us? It takes us all. This is a team effort. All right? Cleansing before the Lord. What is it that the Lord had you to give up this year? Say, you know what? This thing's kind of held me back. Hold